Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Good morning, Mr. Paul Kiriazi, all the way over in Japan. I tell you, it seems like such a far, far away. But in reality, we're just an internet connection away. Just imagine. I remember there was a time when this was not even thought of. It was unheard of to have a connection this instantly with someone as far away as Japan. So good morning, Paul. Good morning, Tina. Good morning, Hope Harper. Good morning, Nia. Good morning for those of you who are on your way to work. Good morning, good morning, and I hope you have an exciting and powerful day. You know, it's, you ever hear the saying, FYI, for your information? Well, right here on this show is FYI, for your improvement, for your improvement. You know, improvement is a wonderful thing, right? I mean, we're here every day to improve. Every single day, we want to improve today more than we improved yesterday. So today, we want to talk about the power of improvement. The power of improvement. Now, I want you to write that down. Improvement. I-M-P-R-O-V-E-M-E-N-T. The power of improvement. Oh, and thank you. I just got the word back from Mr. Paul. He said his day was fabulous. Awesome. That's how I interpret the word. Great, Paul. Great, 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 fabulous day. And, you know, over there it's already 8 o'clock at night. So it's 8 o'clock at night there. It's 7 o'clock in the morning here. on the East Coast. When on the West Coast, it's still yet 4 a.m. And if you're in the Dallas area, it is probably around 6 a.m. So all over the world, all different times, people are up doing things. Again, some are finishing up their day, some are just starting their day, but nonetheless, we're here, we're here, we are thankful, thankful, and grateful. I don't know about you, but I had an absolutely fantastic day yesterday here in New Jersey. It was torrential rains. I mean, rain was coming down, down, down. And I knew for a fact it wasn't going to, you know, take us out of here, but I was like, wow, lots of rain, lots of flooding. So we do just ask for prayer for those people who are trapped in floods and who suffered, you know, through power outages and what have you, because that was a lot of rain, and the thunder at times was just so loud, just so loud. So welcome back. Yesterday, Mr. Walker was here giving us some tips on how to, you know, market and why we should market, and talking about some other things as it relates to our business, you know, and if you are in business, you want to improve your business. If you work for a business, you want to improve your productivity. You want to improve your output, your results, your outcomes. If you are a teacher, there's room for improvement. If you're in the medical field, there's lots of room for improvement. If you work in anywhere in the federal government, there's much room. Much, much room. I love the federal government. I can't deny that. Okay, that probably could be a side of me that many of you don't know. I really do. I have a special place in my heart for the federal government. I'm sure as many of you have your reasons for or against it. But my mother, I know you've heard me say this a number of times, but my mother worked for the federal government. So ever since I've been in the world, she started out with the United States Postal Service, and then she, after a year, went on to work for the Internal Revenue Service until she retired. And so that's what I know. I know federal service. I know about it and things like that, right? And then to top it off, I get 35, and go back to college and decide to go for political science as a major, where I was inundated with the government, federal, at all levels, and for every country in the world. We had to study that. So it was interesting. It was fun. Now, here's the interesting thing about the power of improvement, which is our topic today. The power of improvement. Improvement. I love improvement. I'm telling you. I do. I do. Sometimes you may say, wait a minute, do you really? I really do. I really love improvement. And I'm going to begin to look at it even more closely than I ever have. Because there are a lot of people who need to improve in areas of their life. That's why I do the coaching. That's what coaching is all about. It's helping people to be what they want, to have what they want, to live the kind of life they want. And in many of those instances, in order for people to do that, there has to be improvement. Much like development and growth, improvement is right in that same category. And even companies today, and companies have always, don't get me wrong, companies have always appreciated individuals that was into their own, you know how people are like into stuff, like some people are into rap, some people are into gospel, some people are into art, some people are into poetry. Well, companies have always loved people that was into improvement, self-improvement. They adore that, okay? It makes their job easier. If you're into self-improvement and if you self-education, and that's part of improvement, okay? Companies love that. You know, that's why a lot of companies reward that. For instance, some companies have tuition reimbursement because they're basically saying that we want you to try to get better, better your education, better yourself. Many companies will give you time off to go to seminars, training, workshops outside of the company, and some companies will pay for it as well. So companies have always been into improvement and self-improvement wherever they can find it. If they, you know, if they see a resume of a person that has been a member in various organizations that, you know, tout or are about improvement and personal development, professional development, the company's going to look very hard at that versus a person that may have on your resume, you may even have the fact that you went to college, but it really doesn't show anything extra that you did in terms of improving yourself. So for those individuals who join organizations like Toastmasters and you become a member of various organizations in your industry, so if you're an accountant, you may join the American Accounting Association. If you're a psychologist, you might want to join the American Psychology Association. Maybe you fix cars. You may, you know, join the mechanics. So every industry and every career and every topic within an industry has a national, and sometimes international association, but at least a national. And one thing I learned a long time ago about associations and organizations is that, you know, if you don't find one, create one. You know, it says it's really that simple. That's how all those got started. Every association that I know of got started because the person who started the organization wanted to join one and couldn't find one, so they went and started one. Now, yes, that was 40 years ago, maybe 60 years ago, what have you, and look how it has improved over time. Same thing people do with their cars. They improve them. They may upgrade the tires. They may upgrade the sound system. They may upgrade the engine or upgrade some other parts of the car. Well, likewise, we are a machine as well. Yes, we're a spiritual human machine, but a machine nonetheless. And we need to be upgraded. We need to be improved. So we're talking today about the power of improvement. Now, what kinds of things would you, and improvement is, like I said, it's for everyone. It's for teachers, it's for supervisors, it's for managers, it's for individuals who believe that they are mentors. How can you consider yourself a mentor to someone, but you're not out, you know, with self-improvement? Okay. Now, self-empowerment is good, and that's one thing, okay, to be empowered, meaning that you want to make your own decisions in life. Okay. But to be a self-improvement individual, about improving not just your life, but the lives around you. I remember when, I've done this on every job that I've ever had in the past 10 years. I didn't always do it. Okay? Nobody has always done anything, probably. So, but for probably the past 10, no, maybe more like 15 years. And I'm on these jobs, and I'm going there, and somehow I'm into this whole self-improvement. I sort of fell into self-improvement and this power of improvement by accident. I really did. I wasn't seeking it. It wasn't something that I set out to do or something that I said, oh, one day I know I'm going to be doing this. No, I stumbled upon it. That's one of the reasons that there is a network, social network site out there called Stumbled Upon. And I thought that was so cute because in life, you can stumble upon great things. You know, some of us stumbled upon our purpose in life. You know, some people say, you know, they look at people who have found their purpose and they wonder, you know, how they did it. Well, they stumbled upon it. But one thing about stumbling, I noticed, you know, when I look at even in the natural sense of the word stumble, when you think about it, can you stumble if you're standing still? You know, just flat-footed, you're just standing still. Or you're just sitting still, okay? Standing, sitting, or lying still. Can you stumble? No. So stumbling can only happen when we're moving. Mm-hmm. Is that not true? Think about that for a moment. Stumbling happens because we're moving. So people who stumble upon success, so to speak, they're not necessarily, they are stumbling, but they're moving. Now, sometimes we stumble and we fall backwards. That's okay. You just get up and keep going. Okay? But that's the key right there. Keep going. And so this power of improvement, what happens in the sense of improvement, we're getting better and better. It becomes a mindset. And then over time, after it becomes a mindset, it becomes our way of life. And then we, once something becomes our way of life, we have to be careful because then we can take it for granted and not realize the significance of it or the value of it. Once we begin to take things for granted, we somehow sometimes forget the value of a thing. Therefore, we do not appreciate it to its fullest potential, nor do we utilize it to its greatest extent. So, you know, in a sense, I'm here to remind you not to do those things, as I remind myself. You know, I know there are some people that will say, oh, you know, I love tuning into the Coach Lalisa show because of this, this, or that. Well, I learned this, I learned that, I think about this, I think about that, I heard this, I heard that. Well, guess what? I love tuning in too, so, you know, just so that you'll know, as a matter of fact, you know, these are some lean times, y'all. You know, everybody knows that. Everybody's cutting back. People are cutting back all over the place for various reasons, and so we have to cut back on some things. But one thing that was mentioned, don't cut back on the Blog Talk Radio show. So it has an effect. It's making some headway, I should say. So the power of improvement is just, I'm telling you, one of the things about improvement that makes it so, so, so powerful. This is, you know, I hope you're ready to write this one down because you want to hear this one loud and clear. Hear me, loud and clear. One of the things about the power of improvement that makes it so powerful, all right, and I almost don't want to tell you. It's like I'm giving away too much information for free. No, just kidding. But the power of improvement, and you want to tap into this. This is something that you absolutely want to tap in. If you don't tap into anything else that I've ever said or ever will say, please, I mean, if this is your absolutely last time that you'll ever tune into this show, which I pray that it isn't, but just in case, I want you to get this really, really good. The power of improvement is so significant because it embraces and actually is a catalyst and rides the flow, the wave of change. Yes, because it taps into, it flows with, and it rides the wave of change. See, when something is being improved, it's inherently changing. And so when you have young people, you could take a little child, little baby, literally, age one, and if you were to begin as you're growing this child up, and you begin to show this child this concept of improvement, so the child may do something. Maybe they'll scribble on anything or whatever they may do. And then the next time you show them, okay, honey, now we're going to improve on this, or baby, or whatever you call your little person. You know, you say, or dear, or whatever. You know, we have all these little cute, sweet names we call our children. You know, you want to talk really, really nice to them while they're little. You don't want their ears to hear any harshness. So we talk real sweet and kind to them. Honey, sweetie, baby. Which does make you kind of wonder why we get out of doing that. Well, anyway, so you have this little kid and you go, Yeah, so we're going to improve on that. We're going to improve on what you did. Let's just say that the child doesn't make the bed right, or the child doesn't brush their teeth right, or the child doesn't feed themselves properly, or whatever it is that they're doing. Maybe they snatched a toy from another child. What doesn't matter. And now we're teaching them this power of improvement, because really that's what's happening, even if we don't teach them, even if we never teach them that. We want improvement from anyone. Okay, let's just say you're a supervisor, you're a manager, you're a business owner. You want your employees to improve. I mean, it's just the bottom line. And I remember when I was a store manager at Dressborn. And before I became the store manager, I was the history of me at Dressborn is that I was a customer. And I used to go there and shop. When I would get paid, I would go and get an outfit or two. And I used to go to the one on Route 22 here in Union, New Jersey. It's no longer there. It's no longer in that spot. There's something else in that spot right now. But it used to be right there, if some of you remember. It's a beauty supply store today, and it's right next door to the 9 West on Route 22 near Costco's. And there used to be a Dressborn there. And I used to work not too far from there, and so I used to go there, and I would shop. And there was a woman there who would always help me. Now, this is the strangest thing. I'm telling you, this is the truth. This lady who used to help me was a sales associate. She may have even been an assistant manager. And I would go there at night because I don't like to shop in crowds. So I would go in late, you know, maybe like an hour before they close when the store is literally almost empty. And the same woman would be there working. Well, naturally, once you find a salesperson you like, you're going to go there more often on their shift. So I would go there. Now this lady, she knew my size over time. She knew my style. So when things would come in, she would sit them to the side. She said, I think little Lisa will like that. So she would sit it to the side. Sometimes she would even call me up. Well, I would go there, and we would, you know, small talk, right? Networking, this was back in 1993. This was in 1993. I was working on my associate degree right there, Union County College. And I would go there, and I would do a little shopping here and there, you know. So this one day I'm there, and I'm shopping, and we're talking. I'm just a customer again. And then, you know, she's told me this story about her, and I was, you know, surprised. Well, she, you know, because I'm waiting at the cash register or whatever. We're just chit-chatting. And probably I mentioned about being in college, and she ended up telling me how she was working on her PhD, as she had gone to school and was getting this PhD. And I thought, you know, wow, that is awesome. You know, that's great. I had never met anybody before that, you know, was working on a PhD. It was my absolute first time meeting somebody that was working on a PhD. It's 1993, and here this woman was. And she said, I said, oh, well, why are you working here in retail at Dressborn? And she was telling me the story about how she ran out of funding, she didn't have any more money, and she had to stop taking classes. And I thought to myself, what a tragedy. And I just went on my merry way because I'm just getting an associate degree. I'm not thinking about a PhD. It's not even a thought for me. But again, 1993, fast forward, this is 2011, and I'm almost in the same boat as she was in then. So nonetheless, I remember saying to myself, what a tragedy to have to give up all of that work due to the lack of funding. So anyway, I went on shopping, whatever. Well, one day I go in there to shop, and I'm happy and smiling and talking with other customers. And they said to me, oh, you should come and work here. She said, it's the same lady. And I says, oh, girl, they would never hire me. I can't come work here. She says, oh, yes, you should try. So I did. I put in an application. The next day I talked to her boss, the store manager. Voila, they did hire me. And I end up getting to know the district manager, which was a woman named Susan, and Susan Camuzzo. And she was a very nice lady. And I remember she talked to me, and eventually they offered me a position as assistant store manager. But I remember, and now once you get to different roles, your job changes. So I no longer had to do this, this, and that. I now was responsible for some other things, and one of the things I needed to do was, you know, decorate the store and what have you. So one of the things I remember she said to me, you know, she would come and do a store audit before the regional manager comes in to do the audit. She would do the audit. And I remember she would say to me, okay, LaLisa, here's the key to your success here as a store manager. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because I'm saying that this is possibly a key to success in almost anywhere. And but she said, and this is where the improvement takes place, where the improvement comes in. She says, LaLisa, when I was a store manager, just like you, and my district manager would come to do audits, she said, one of the things was that whatever they hit me on the last time, they could never hit me on that again. They may hit me on something else, but they'll never hit me on whatever they hit me on the last time. And I thought about that. I was like, wow, that's really something. That's really great. And so what she was saying in essence is that because she was improving, you can't improve if you stay the same. So if every time they were to come and hit her on the same thing, that would mean there was no change, possibly that she had not learned her lesson, that she did not understand what her responsibility was. And so improvement should become a way of life. It should become how we think. It should become how we carry ourselves, how we conduct ourselves. And there's power in that because people will notice. People will notice. If you're at work, your supervisor will notice. If you own your own business, your customers will notice. Your customers will notice every time you improve your establishment. They may not notice right away, but eventually they'll notice this place is getting better, and they will feel better, and their mindsets will change. It's a whole psychology out there on this power of improvement. It's not just a little topic for a morning radio show, though we are talking about it on a morning radio show. But it's not a little topic. No, 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 no. This is serious business, the power of improvement. And so you can improve in any area of your life. Okay? You want to, as you are, you know, developing yourself. Now, I was looking at some, you know, some of you know now that I work with individuals helping them to find jobs, okay? I work with what they call it Work First New Jersey, and other states call it other things. But it is it's individuals who are on the welfare system, okay? And for those of you who don't know what the welfare system is, yes, it is a system. For those of you, I don't know, you know, like I said, other parts of the world, they may not have the same type of system. But here in the United States, we have help for individuals who don't have a job, and for some, and sometimes maybe have never had a job. Because if you have a job and you work for X amount of months, let's just say, and you get fired or you get laid off, you can go and collect what's called unemployment. And so, and unemployment is a different type of a benefit versus a welfare would be for all those individuals who don't qualify for unemployment while they're not working. I mean, the ultimate goal is that you're either working, earning an income, or you're an employer and you're creating an income. You're either earning an income or you're creating one. It's, you know, those are the two main ways to get an income. You're earning or creating. And then you know, unless you are a investor, you know, that's your full, but that still would be being an entrepreneur. And so the other way is that if you cannot start your own business where you can create income, and you cannot find a job working for someone else where you can earn an income, but you still need income, you still need food and all the basic needs in life, food, you still need shelter, and you still need hygiene, and you need medical and things like that. And so if you've never worked, or if you haven't worked long enough, and unemployment only kicks in, I believe, after you've worked like 6 months or so. I forget the exact time limit to it, but you have to work for so many months first before you can collect unemployment. Other than that, in order to have an income coming in to pay your bills, keep a roof over your head, you would need to then probably do something like welfare. So some of you know I'm helping people who are in that condition. And yes, it is a condition. Believe me, you, it is one that if you never have to go in that condition, try not to. So here we are, but we're trying to improve on some things, right? And I'm really looking, I hadn't thought about this word, improvement, for a while. I talked about it maybe about 3 years ago. I was discussing this word with my youngest sister, Hope, and we were talking about it in terms of people's lives and improving your life. And then continuous improvement. And I talk about it actually in chapter 8 of Release Your Power. But that the title of the chapter is Continuous Improvement. So if you don't have the book, you want to get a copy of it, you can please go to my website, LilisaJWilliams.com. 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 And you will, and in that book, in that chapter, I talk about continuous improvement. So the power of, so in other words, it doesn't stop. You never stop improving. We're always looking to improve, to get better and better and better. It's like in a factory or manufacturing company, or any company, really. It doesn't have to be a manufacturing company. It could be any company. It could be a service industry. Anywhere, they're always looking to get better. That's the whole key to the whole thing, right? If you are in sports, the coach is looking for the basketball player. If they are the, let's just say they play the position of forward, they're looking for that forward to improve every time they get out on that court. If you're playing football and you're a linebacker or running back or whatever position you play, that's why you practice, because you're trying to improve so that every time you get out on the field, you get better and better and better. And so improvement, and so the power then of improvement is a part of what we're trying to achieve. And the same thing in people, you know, spiritually. Spiritually, what are we trying to do? We say, oh, but you're not perfect. No, but you're striving for perfection. So you're striving to do what? Improve. Increase, improve, get better. Now, does it always work? No. But that doesn't stop you from trying. Maybe you need to improve. Like in a company, sometimes they improve various components of the operation. Maybe you need to improve the process. Maybe you need to improve the machinery. Maybe you need to improve the rules and regulations. Maybe, you know, there's many areas of improvement that may need to happen before you see improved results. So like with our lives, we're trying to improve our lives. We may need to improve our thinking. We might need to improve our surroundings. We might need to upgrade. That's what I mean by improve, or upgrade. So the power of improvement, I tell you, again, I just sort of stumbled upon it, though I have a chapter on it in my book. I don't want to be like those people who have books and they don't know what's in there. So I guess I better revamp that. I mean, I better go back and read that book again. But the chapter on continuous improvement and companies, I saw in a job, as I was saying, that now that I'm working with individuals who have to find a job, part of my role is to help them. That's one of the main reasons the people come to my program. When I go to market the program to the individuals that can choose the program, that is the main thing that makes them say, I'm going with her. Because most of the programs do not do job placement. They do job readiness. They get you ready for a job, but they don't try to help you get the job. And most individuals that have not had a job in a long time, there's no way they're going to pretty much get a job on their own. It's just, it's not saying you can't do it, but it's very hard. It's hard for people who have had jobs. They can hardly get another job without help. So imagine a person that doesn't work, hasn't worked, has a sketchy work background. You know, they're going to need help. So part of my role, so now I'm talking to employers. I'm looking for jobs. I'm contacting. And it's so funny because I go to companies and I say, oh, are you hiring? And they're quick to tell me, oh, yes. I'm like, hold up. No, it's not me. I'm not looking for, you know. And that's what, and I'm only bringing that out because I try to show people that first impressions are very meaningful. And when people see you and you, you know, you look presentable, you look like you're ready to go to work, they're all too happy to tell you, oh, yes, we're hiring. Whereas in some situations they may say no, okay? So if you're working with individuals, please do yourself a favor. Make sure that they, before everything else, before you give them the resume, before you, you know, sit down and give them all this training, make sure they are presentable. That is key number one, uno. I'm not going to change. I am not going to change my position on that. I'm sorry. I will not. Oprah could come and knock on my door right now. I am not going to change and ask me to change. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to change my position on that. Your appearance, that's all the way from the top of your head to the sole of your shoe. And I mean the sole and the heel. Okay, have on a nice pair of shoes. I don't care if you got them from the dollar store. Let them be new for that interview. Take them off afterwards. It doesn't matter. Okay, but when you go in there, be tight. And so that, to me, that is number one. That is number one because unless your interviewer is blind and cannot see, see, you don't have to worry. However, if other people in the office can see, they're going to report back. Remember, when you go on an interview, you're not being interviewed by the interviewer only. You are being interviewed by everyone that sees you or talks to you from the time you walk into the building until the time you take your seat. And so everyone will later be questioned about your attitude, your personality, all those things, right? And so I'm looking for these jobs, and I noticed that in one job application, so now I have to investigate because I've seen this once, there was a company that offered as a benefit, you know, typically you see things like what? Vacation, you know, you see things like 401K, they may offer as a benefit medical and dental, things like that. And I was surprised when I saw listed there as a benefit professional development. I thought, oh, that's different, and that's being offered now as a benefit. All right? So you're saying, well, what does that mean, Coach LaLisa? Well, what that means is that what I believe in, what I'm interpreting that to mean, is that companies are valuing so much so, well, they understand that people value, should I say, professional development, much like a person would value a 401 savings program or medical and dental or vacation, all right? So it's a value to an employee that will attract an employee to want to come work for them. And I could see the trend of that with everybody trying to connect, whether it's through a coaching program and or, you know, hiring a coach, working with a coach, and that's all about professional development, personal development. The word development is key right there, and development and improvement meaning very, very, very close to the same thing, basically means the same thing. It's just that some people do develop, though they don't get better. You know, people can develop into a hot mess, for that matter. But in this sense, when they use the word professional development, personal development, they are talking about improvement, personal improvement, professional improvement, getting better, getting bigger, expanding your knowledge base or what have you, expanding your skill sets, expanding your abilities, okay? And so there you have it. Thank you, Hip. All right. Okay, Hip Magic. All right. Thank you for that comment in the chat room there. So, improvement, the power of improvement. Number one, it's going to be continuous. You're going to do this. We said it's going to be a mindset. It's going to be a lifestyle. It's going to spill on everyone that you come into contact with, almost like spreading the gospel. Remember, you were told to just go spread it everywhere, tell everybody. Well, this power of improvement is something that you're going to want to see in everyone. You're going to want to see, a person may start way down here or way over here, but you see them improving. You know, that's the whole basis behind people like Dr. Stephen Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's about improvement. He takes you from here and he gets you there. And he promotes his book because he wants everyone to get it. Same thing with Mark Hansen and Victor. I can't think of his last name right now. I always get those guys mixed up. But they're the ones who wrote the book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. You know, that the original version, that is, anyway. Yes, Mark, well, actually, it's one person, Mark Victor Hansen. That's why I was always getting it mixed up. His name is Mark Vincent Hansen. And then the other guy that wrote the book with him is Jack Canfield. So the two of them, they're almost like household names now because of the whole Chicken Soup for the Soul. And, they just sold millions and millions and millions of copies. But I remember his story, Jack Canfield tells it all the time, how when he first got started with the book, nobody wanted to publish it. He had to self-publish. Nobody would publish his book. And he went to at least 100 publishers. They all flat out turned him down. Flat out. Now, you can imagine how foolish they felt once he sold a million copies. So people, don't turn people down because they don't look like they got much right now or they're not doing much right now, because you never, never know where it might go. Remember the same thing with the Colonel Sanders guy. When he first told them, he was like 80-something when he decided to fry chicken. And they told him, you are foolish. You ought to be retired. Nobody's going to buy chicken and all. Bucket, get out of here with that. And today, I mean, it's like a household name. I mean, people eat chicken at church, at home, and family reunions, at the wake, at the funeral. I mean, you name it, people will grab a bucket of chicken. And so, for dinner, for lunch, you know. And so you can't go by, you know, these humble small beginnings. So back to this whole improvement movement. And again, if you can teach your children early on about it, it'll be instilled in them, and they will take it with them to grade school, to high school, to college, to marriage, to their life, to their jobs, to their careers, and they will be the better for it, and so will their companies. Imagine, just imagine with me for a second, a world where... Just imagine a world where everyone, yeah, KFC, mm-hmm. Oh, you did, Paul? Paul says he passed the statue every day in Japan. Look at that. See, this man was near retiring. They told him, just go retire. You don't know what you're doing. You're foolish. You're going to do that. That's crazy. We don't want to hear it. And look at today, you know, some, whatever, 60, 70 years later. Come on. Everybody and their mother eats Kentucky Fried Chicken at some point in their life. You may not eat it now, but at some point in your life, you may have eaten a thing or two from there. If nothing else, you ate a biscuit. And so this improvement, just imagine your organization. Just imagine. I don't care if you have one person working there and it's just you, or there's 1 million people working there. Imagine if everyone was an improvement junkie, okay? Who was that said? Oh, I think it was, what's his name? The musician man, Jones, Quincy Jones. I heard him say once in an interview that if people, and he was talking about a particular people at the time that he made the statement, but he said if people would be more concerned about getting better as opposed to just getting over, they would inherently be better. You see, there's no need to try to get over. Oh, thank you. Okay. Hippomedic? Okay, hip-hop. Oh, hip-hop. Okay, there you go, hip-hop. See, that shows you my age right there. I couldn't even figure that out. Hip-hop is in the room. Hip-hop medic. I was like, hypno? Okay, I wasn't seeing straight. Hip-hop. All right. So, now, hip-hop as in hip-hop to the hippie. Okay, now, let's see. Does that mean that you're young? If that's the case, that is really cool because I love when young people attend any of my workshops, seminars, and things of that nature because to me that really signifies that you're reaching different types of people and, you know, it's always, most people in my age group get a big kick out of reaching the young because a lot of times the young people get a bad rap is in terms of not being reachable or being so far out there kind of thing. And so if we can reach them, you know, we're always happy. But anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that in for free. But nonetheless, this power of improvement, just imagine a situation where people are more concerned with improving than they are with just doing something. You're not just doing it for the sake of doing it, but you're doing it for the benefit of improvement. So whatever business that you're running, whatever organization you work in, whether you're an author, a motivational speaker, whether you're a musician, you might be a psalmist, you're an entertainer, whatever it is, you're doing it with the mindset for improvement. I want to improve. What is my age group? Well, you know what? Hip-hop, you have to get the book, and you've got to read. You just got to get the book. So go to my website, get the book, and you will find out what my age group is. But it is a group of us. Believe me, we are a truly, truly, truly a group. Oh, we're a group, all right. But we're of a good age group, I think. I think, you know, we've been around. We've done some things. We've seen some things. We've had some things. We've lost some things. We've even found some things. Like today, we're finding out that there is real power to improvement. Now, as some of you know, especially our good friend, and I love the fact that Mr. Paul Cariazzi tunes into the show. Most days, he is here. Even when Japan recently, about, what, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer, had suffered this humongous storm and tornado and earthquake and all of that, and he still tuned in when he could. I thought that was so admirable. But when you have people like that, and remember back in February, for the whole month of February, every Monday, so if you follow those dates, get a calendar for 2011, look up the dates of Monday, go through the archives of the Coach LaLisa Show, and you will find his, and they're also labeled. I know some of the shows aren't labeled, and we'll get to that, but right now we're improving. I just labeled a few. And, you know, when you work, when you're a one-woman show, you have to do a lot of things, but on your own. But we do have help. We have Miss Patricia Martin, so we thank God for her, who schedules people to come on the show. So, but here, but that's a tedious process, going in and labeling the shows. But his shows are labeled. His shows are labeled. He did the Living the James Bond Lifestyle, and he did four segments. So they're labeled part one, two, three, and four. And so that was in February. Now here it is May. But he's been tuning in for a while. And, you know, that really says, you know, really. And many of you are regulars. You tune in each and every day for as long as we've been coming on every day. There was a time when we only came on once a week. When we first started, we were coming on once a week for 1/2 hour. Once a week for 1/2 hour. So the show is going into its fourth year. In March, somewhere around March, was our third year. So we're going into our fourth year of being here on Blog Talk Radio with the Coach LaLisa Show. Now, if you go to the archives, you can hear even some of the very first shows that we did. Now, I didn't call it Coach LaLisa at the time. I believe the show was called Release Your Power or something like that. But I've since just changed it to the Coach LaLisa Show. So you go into the archives and you can hear some of those very first shows. So if you do that, don't be surprised what you hear. You might just hear dead air, booze, you know, like that. But we did the show, and many of those shows were done. Many of those shows in the early days, there was no one there, okay? There was no one in the chat room, no one on the phone, and I still did the show. Why? Why did I do the show anyway when no one was there? Why? Because some people wouldn't. They were like, okay, nobody's calling in, and they might do it once or twice, and they will give up. Same thing with events. I do events, and I remember the very first event that I did. Basically, no one showed up. Well, I can't say no one because my mother showed up, my sister showed up, my cousin showed up. My cousin's mother showed up, and then my best friend showed up. So five people showed up. My mother, my sister, my cousin, her mother, and my best friend, and my husband. Well, he had to be there because I needed him to work the camera, so he had to come. And so that was six then, right? That was six and counting myself. So there were seven of us there. And that was, oh, about, that had to be, my mother passed in 05, so it was prior to 05. That's 6 years ago. It had to be somewhere around 2002. Yeah, it was around 2002, somewhere around there. So going on 10 years ago now, this is 9 years. This is 2011, so 9 years later. Yeah, it was around 2002. And we did the event over in Newark, New Jersey, on South Orange Avenue in this facility. And I'll never forget it. So here's the thing. But I did it anyway, and I did another event. Maybe three people showed up that time because my mother probably couldn't come to town. And so I kept doing, right? And then there were events. I gave events at my house, and no one showed up. But, and I did the event anyway. Whatever speech I had prepared, I gave it anyway. Now, a person would say, why do that? Well, the power of improvement. Because, see, every time you do it, okay, every time you do an event, right, you are going to practice. Every time you do it, it's like practice. That's what they talk about. When they talk about skill, you know, you talk about skill sets. You know, what do you say? What's your skill sets? And how does a person get skilled? Well, people get skilled by doing something, practicing, perfecting what it is you do. Well, how can you perfect what you do if you don't follow through with it, if you give up and don't do it, you know? And someone taught me that, too, about writing. You know, this guy, he said, if you're going to write a book, just go on and write it, you know. He says, don't worry about if it's any good or not. Now, this is what he said. He said, my first 10 books, nobody bought them. They weren't that good. But since then, he's written 30, 40 books, right? But his point was well taken, is that you don't, the process of improvement comes as you're moving, almost like what we talked about early in the show about that stumbling upon something, when you stumble upon something. And you end up there anyway. You end up there. So we are down to the last few minutes of the show. And I definitely, you know, wish everyone would have an awesome, awesome day today. Remember the concept of improvement, the power of improvement, right? You want to be able to eliminate any things that you don't want there, any inefficiencies, anything that is not going to bring you, you know, the quality and the value that you're looking for. You want to eliminate those things. You want to eliminate any barriers and obstacles, any resistance. You want to be able to improve on what you're doing. If you, again, if you're working with people, the improvement there might be that you're able to inspire them to do something new, that you're able to inspire them to move forward, to keep going. If you're working on something yourself, you might want to do your research, consult with other people, network with people. So we're going to talk more about this improvement on tomorrow. I know we have people that will call in and tell us about their business. We're going to talk more about some of these areas where we can improve, whether it be in our time management. That's a big area, right? In our time management, in motivating others, motivating ourselves. That's an area of improvement. Some people say, oh, I'm not motivated. Okay, so we want to get motivated, all right? And so, yes, there's the website right there for you, HipHopMedic. That's cute. LILISAJWilliams.com. LILISAJWilliams.com. And so this whole concept of improvement, getting better. So go out today and see who you can help improve. And don't forget to improve yourself. And don't forget, companies are valuing this so much so, and they know you're valuing it, that they would offer it as a benefit to the organization. And so that what that's saying to me is that people like myself who are coaches, we better get ready, be prepared, because these companies may hire us to come in and to lead these professional development and personal development workshops and seminars within the organizations, so that people who understand this concept of improvement and how it works. And so go out and improve today. Go out and improve someone else. Have a great time doing it. Please, if you try something new and it actually works, or you have a aha moment, please put it on my Facebook page. I welcome that. Put a comment there. And I know Thursday was supposed to be our hot topic, and I guess you can call that a hot topic. Yeah, that would be our hot topic for today, the power of improvement. So there you have it. It's been great. It's been real. And we look forward to having you back here tomorrow, same time, same place, with Coach Lalisa.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. But we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great, it's been real, it's been awesome, and you gotta keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move, and this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.